What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We're going to turn our attention out of Portland, Oregon. We're joined by Anna Wilcox, a multimedia journalist with Portland's KBOO, who has been covering the protests at Portland's ICE facility. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for coming. So I guess the big news this morning, Anna, is that a U.S. appeals court has ruled that Trump can, in fact, deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon, despite objections from the people. The news article said from local officials, I care less about that. I care about the objections from the people. Things have already been pretty heated, right, with just the deployment of ICE agents. What are the concerns that you're hearing from the ground? What are your concerns from someone who's been watching, you know, been present on the ground of the exacerbated impact with a National Guard deployment?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that everybody is really concerned about is whether or not having the deployment of the National Guard here is going to really escalate the situation. And I think people are also concerned. There's been a lot of use of crowd control munitions at the ICE facility, and people have been injured, and the community there has been subjected to tear gas. I wouldn't say nightly. I was there last night, and I don't know if they used any after I left, but they weren't using crowd control munitions when I was there yesterday. But I think there is a concern that that's going to increase and escalate, and there also is concern, I think, that people are just going to, you know, be hurt, and like, it's just they've already been using a lot of this equipment, so I'm not sure what's going to continue to happen.
This is really sort of stark, scary images, if I'm being frank, of these masked agents on top of buildings. I mean, they're holding what they call less lethal ammunitions, weapons. You know, you can ask some folks that I know that have been permanently disabled by some of them less lethal weapons about how less lethal they feel. And people have died, actually, from flashbangs. That's just what's true. But they're standing on top of buildings, firing down on the people. Like, this isn't even direct engagement. This is some, like, coward. I have to watch my mouth, as you know, right? But people know this is some coward beep, 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 beep stuff from ICE agent. I don't know. I mean, I recall, right, multiple times where, like, they were above us, right? And we would always have security paying attention. That's not something you see often, the indirect attack from above.
Yeah, so the way that the Portland ICE facility is built, really the architecture, there's kind of a middle roof, like just like not a mezzanine, it's the roof of the building, but it's kind of a middle level, and then there's one that's up above, and you kind of see sometimes more people in civilians' clothes up above looking down, and then on the middle level is where a lot of times people will be, or the officers will be firing the pepper bullets, as well as throwing the gas canisters, but there's like this blue line on, like, in front of the driveway of the ICE building.
Wait, like a real one? Or like
a blue, like an actual blue line on the pavement of the, of like on the ground. And that blue line is the line between the sidewalk and what, is considered government or private property, or they're the property of the ICE building. And so whenever people get too close to that blue line, or if someone steps over the blue line, what you'll see is the officers up on top of the building firing the pepper bullets or the pepper balls, like, onto the ground to make a cloud of smoke, basically, or that cloud of that gas. And so, like, you also see sometimes the, like, people who have maybe gotten too close to the line, although it's a little bit chaotic down there, so it's hard to see, like, what exactly is happening. But some of those people, later on, when the guards do come out, people who have gotten close to the line or crossed the line, they seem to be people that the guards are targeting for some targeted arrests. A couple of weekends ago, there was a demonstration from it was actually multiple groups, but I talked with someone from a group called Portland Contra las Deportaciones, so Portland Against Deportations. During the daytime protests, the guards actually mobilized and came out from behind a gate that blocks the driveway of the ICE facility, and came out and made targeted arrests and did arrest some of the organizers for that group. Some people were let out within a few hours, and other people were held for longer. And then another person who was not associated with the organized group was actually taken to a jail that is in a different county, and held there for I think a couple days. And I need to confirm when they. Yeah, I need to follow up on that story as well. But it's pretty scary. So there is kind of this sense of being kind of watched from above. And then yesterday people were highlighting a drone that was flying around, and they weren't able to tell if it was one of the drones from the protesters or a drone from the officers or from the ICE facility. And so there is kind of that. It's dystopian. It feels a little scary.
2020, Summer of Rage, Portland was right again, a target, was in sort of the crosshairs of the Trump administration, right, as the world erupted in response to state violence. That is also sort of was the cultivation ground, if you will, for this false narrative around on tape. There was this very cute protester who was in a frog outfit in solidarity with the frog, who said, I haven't seen Antifa anywhere, so I don't know what he's talking about, but all of us are out here protesting against fascism. And she was lovely. It was very cute. And I was just like, well, sweetie, you are Antifa. But Portland was sort of the cultivation ground for this boogeyman, right? This boogeyman image of this thing that does not exist. There seems to be some sort of recreation attempt of that again, right? There's this war in Portland's the breeding ground of this boogeyman. But what I've been seeing is there sort of seems to be this range of politics that are out there on the street. And there's three buckets that I've identified, but I'm hoping maybe you can either expound upon the buckets and or add right to the pot. So There's the what I guess what do they call this, the radicals, right, the ones that actually think that there shouldn't be borders and this is trash and we want a different America. There's the folks what I was talking about earlier with Damon, right, that want their Biden Obama America back and I just can't believe that something like this could happen in America. God bless you for that. There's this interesting demographic of white folks that live in these apartments nearby who are really upset about tear gas in their buildings. And I get it. Like, I talk all the time, but I have no idea how many different forms of cancer I've inhaled over the last 2.5 decades, right? Like, it's not a game. And for those of us with lung issues, it's a problem. But it's right? But those people seem to be split between irritation at the protesters, right? Can't you go be somewhere else? But also, like, irritation at the government. And then, of course, I guess four buckets. And then, of course, there's the folks that are on the Trump side. Those seem to be the four buckets of folks that I see being at least the most vocal to news outlets. Is that about right? Or yeah, is there more nuance there?
I think there's nuance. One of the building that's right in front of the ICE facility is actually a low income housing building. And so there's been different people from that low income housing building who are obviously they're being subjected to that tear gas every night. But I've also seen some of those people speak at some of the rallies about their experience. And there has been a lot of support generally for just like abolishing the campaign against immigrants that has started with this. I mean, that's not started, but just that's really been fueled and propagated by the Trump administration since Trump took office again, and then also before. People protested this facility in 2018 as well, and I think also the Tacoma facility has been protested a lot, and that's kind of the detention center where people are taken to, because the facility here in I'm just giving some context. So the facility here in Portland is supposed to be a processing facility, and people aren't supposed to be held there for more than 12 hours. And so one of the major contentions from groups like Portland Contra Deportaciones and other people is that the ICE and federal officers have violated their land use agreement for that building 25 times since October, right? So that means they're holding people in that building longer than 12 hours. And so you have groups and different protesters interrupting city hall meetings, trying to get the city of Portland to revoke the permit on that building because of the violations. When people like the kind of times when there's a lot of when there's usually a lot of gas, or when there's a lot of more tension between the protesters and the people in the or the federal officers of the building, is when they're trying to move cars in and out of the facility. And some of those cars are vans that are supposed to transport people from the ICE facility to the Tacoma detention facility, and that's one thing that they're trying to interrupt. But there's also other cars going in and out. So I said that's not answering your question. I just said that to paint a little bit of context about like what's kind of happening on the ground there. But it's definitely, I would say, a mix of people. I think the city and Mayor Keith Wilson has issued a warning to the ICE facility about their land use violation, and that happened a few weeks ago. And about 10 days later is when the Portland Contra las Deportaciones had a rally, and then and also Portland for Palestine was also a part of that rally as well, and I think another group. And during that daytime rally, you saw a big response from the federal officers using tear gas during the day. There were several arrests after that, and that was shortly like that sort of spectacle happened, or that incident happened a few days after ICE received a land use violation, and the National Guard being called into Portland before it was blocked by the judge Karen Immergut. The city had already issued that land use violation, and so like on the ground, like it's I think that some people, there is still some narrative about protesters being kind of blamed for escalation, but you have heard from city council members who are also part of the DSA, so the Democratic Socialists of America. We have four council members on Portland City Council who are with the DSA. But you also
Of
hear,
course you do.
huh?
I
Sorry.
said, of course you do. It's Portland. I mean, right on.
So I mean, it's like a different, and these are elected officials, so it's the city, like I think like politically, the city I think cares a lot about working class issues, cares a lot about having kind of different political structures than we have had that we've seen historically in the US. Although I'm not gonna that's like a I'm saying that as a generalization. But yeah, and then still at these protests, like you do have some kind of right-wing agitators that kind of meet on either side of the protests, but I heard yesterday that some of those right-wing pro-Trump people who come in aren't actually allowed to get close to the building because of some there, yeah, someone was arrested, and there's like some trespassing issues, so they're not actually allowed to get as close to the ICE facility as some of the other demonstrators, just because of there were some fights and things that were kind of happening. So
As well,
no,
there probably should have been.
that
Anna Wilcox, I got to leave it there for now, but we will definitely have you back on. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, thank you. You
Take care
too.
of your lungs. I'm Mullen.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.